So Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And when you read the first half of Exodus chapter 3, it's a great, vivid description of God's call to Moses. There were people were suffering, and God was going to raise up a deliverer, and he called a man by the name of Moses to do something that many would say was impossible. And so this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled, "Can You Hear the Call?" Moses heard a call. There are many of you in this room, you have heard a call. There are some of you that are watching live stream, you have heard a call. But here is what I believe with all of my heart. I believe that God perhaps is calling more than ever to go to the harvest fields, and yet we are not listening. Have you ever missed a call before? When I'm talking about missing a call, yes, I'm talking about one of these. You know, we have these smartphones. Communication has just become so common. I mean, you can text, you can call. But have you ever missed a call? There are some of you, you didn't know you could actually talk on these. All you do is text, you know. But you really can. You can push that button and you can actually talk to people, verbalize your feelings, and you don't have to use emojis. And, you know, there are times when I'm really expecting a call, and it aggravates me when I miss a call. Sometimes I'll miss a call because I put my phone on vibrate, and I tried to do that judiciously before chapel to make sure that it doesn't ring. Sometimes I've learned that you can swipe down, and there's like a crescent moon, and I can press that, and that's the do not disturb button. And I love the do not disturb button because, I mean, my phone doesn't vibrate, it doesn't ring, it doesn't give notifications. It's like it's dead, and I like that sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, it's very aggravating when I've been expecting a phone call and I look up at the clock and I'm like, why haven't they called? And I flip the phone over and I see these two words on the screen. Missed call. And there's sometimes it's because my phone's on do not disturb. Sometimes it's because my phone was on vibrate. Sometimes I miss a call because I think the devil just is in technology and I know the ringer was on. I'm telling you, you could put me under oath and I would say, I left the ringer on, but it did not ring, I promise. It's Verizon's fault. But it's aggravating when you miss an important call. But listen to me, you'll not miss a more important call than a call from God if you're not careful. And I want to take you back to where God worked intimately in the life of a man by the name of Moses. Ironically, a man who was listening for God, He had enough sense to recognize that God was dealing with him. And eventually, after a series of excuses, he was willing to yield his heart and his soul to God's call. And my question to you this morning is, are you going to leave this place missing God's call? Some of you get upset when you miss a call from a friend. Some of you get upset when you miss a call, maybe about a job interview. Some of you get upset because you miss a call from a sibling that you've not heard from in a while and you want to catch up. But I wonder how we feel about missing God's call. And so I want to show you this morning several things that I think helped Moses discern God's call in his life. And thousands of years later, God can use these same things to help us. Now, the first thing that I want you to see this morning is this, is that God's call is specific. God's call is very specific. Now, we see this in two ways in the life of Moses. Number one, God calls a specific person. That's Moses. Number two, he calls Moses to a specific task. All right, let's back up and let's talk about the specific person. Some of you are standing in awe of my Bible interpretation skills. You're like, wow, he called a specific person. The Bible says it was Moses. We know that. So what's the big deal? I'm going to tell you the big deal. The big deal is that a long time before Moses ever knew that he was going to lead the nation of Israel, God was preparing him. That may not be a big deal to an 18 or a 20-year-old right now, but I'm telling you, the older you get, you're going to look back and see the providence of God in your life. Listen to me, before you even knew what you were doing, and some of you maybe still don't know what you're doing, and I'm not talking about serving God, I'm just talking about life in general. But a long time before you ever started thinking about the game, God was orchestrating circumstances in your life to make you ready to do something someday. There's nobody in this room that's ever had a autobiography or biography like Moses. Hey, how many of you, when you were born, you were put out on a river in a basket? You say, that's a bum deal. Well, typically, maybe it would be unless God orchestrates it and delivers that basket to what we would say was like the worst place to go. Pharaoh's daughter's house, that's like the last place Moses needs to go, because it's her dad that said, let's kill all of the male children in Israel because there's too many Israelites. And yet Moses shows up there. And while we look at that and say that was a major mistake, I'm glad God knows a lot more than you and me. God guided him right there, and she falls in love with this boy, and now it's like she is his own. You know, people debate, and they say, boy, I'll tell you what, Moses must have had everything. Some people debate and say he could have been the next Pharaoh. He could have been the next leader of Egypt. And now he's raised in the lap of luxury. How many of you would like to have servants feeding you all the time and doing your homework and everything else I'm sure they did for Moses? Some of you are like, I do have servants. They're called brothers and sisters. Come, bring this to me. I remember one day I was looking at two of my boys, they were talking when they were younger, and the older one was bossing the younger, and the younger put his hands on his hips, and he said, you're not the boss of me. And that sort of laid aside the servanthood mentality there. But I mean, here Moses, he was raised in the lap of luxury. He was raised in an environment that was totally divorced of how his parents would have raised him, so to speak. Instead of being raised in an environment where he would have observed and learned all kinds of things about Jehovah, he's raised in an Egyptian culture. And we sort of look at it and we say, boy, this is really a mess. What is God doing? Listen, we may not have known, and Moses may not have known, but here's the key. God knew. And so there eventually comes a day that Moses has to make a choice whether he's going to side with the people of God or he is going to be in the type of the world with Egypt. And that day Moses makes a choice to identify with the people of God, and he is banished from Egypt. Okay? Now, you want to talk about drama? It's funny. I talk to teens and college students. They're like, I don't like drama. I don't like drama. And yet some of them just thrive and live in it. Oh, that's just so much drama. And then the next story you hear, you're like, you're part of the drama. What are you talking about? But I'm telling you, at this point in Moses in his life, there's a lot of drama. Now he's alienated. from the people of God. He's alienated from Egypt, all that he knew growing up, and he's on the backside of a desert feeding sheep. The Egyptians hated shepherds. It was a lowly, disgusting occupation. We read Moses, we read his life story, and we're like, he is going nowhere fast. But God was preparing him all along. One day God would entrust Moses with a few sheep in a wilderness, but then years later, he'd be leading millions of sheep out of Egypt. Now, the reason I rehearse the story of Moses this morning is I want to tell you, no matter how messed up or how backward you think your story is, listen to me. If God could work in the life of Moses and raise him to a position of leadership, I don't care if you weren't raised in a Christian home. I don't care if you had all kinds of odds stacked against you. When you hear this message this morning, you leave understanding this. Child of God, God has been preparing you all along, even though you don't understand it. Don't you walk out of here saying, I can't serve God because this happened in my life, or because I was subjected to this circumstance, or this happened in my family. Listen to me. You don't let those things limit you. God was working all along. But God's call is specific. You know what? There are some of you in this room, you'll be able to minister to people that I'll never be able to minister to in a powerful way. Why? Because God put you in a schoolroom that He didn't put me in. Some of you here, and you're like, well, I was raised in a Christian home. We had barbed wire fences in the front yard. Parents made us go to bed at 7. We just read books all day. My life was so insulated. Now, first of all, that's also extreme. But I'm going to tell you, if you're here in this room and you say, oh, I was raised in a Christian home, there wasn't anything that dramatic in my life. Let me tell you, God's been preparing you in a dramatic way all this time and you've never known it. It's not always just being on the backside of a wilderness. Hey, some of you, you know what? God's put you in a Christian home where your parents have taught you and loved you and they have exemplified the love of Christ. You know why? Because God's used that to prepare you to go show others. First Christian home I ever lived in was when I got married. You know what? There's some of you here raised in a Christian home. You teach me a lot. Why? Because your parents, how they taught you. So listen to me, God calls specific people, and then He calls specific people to do specific tasks. In this instance, it was Moses, I want you to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. You don't have to look very far. There's always something God wants people to do. There's always something to do in God's work. And this was a particular major thing because He's going to lead Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. And I just want to say, you know what, in our day and time, listen, God has specific tasks that He wants people to do. You may not lead 2 million plus out of Egypt, but I'm telling you, there's some of you, if you just yield your heart to God and get your way to the side and follow God's way, it may be that one day you'll be on a mission field. For somebody else, listen, for a young lady here, you're like, man, you know, if you're a school teacher, you have to put up with a lot. I mean, you have to put up with immaturity. And listen, you have to do that in life in general. Did you know that? And it may be that instead of saying, I want an easy life or I just want everything to be perfect. First, you need to realize nothing's ever going to be perfect. Nothing's going to be totally easy. But if God calls you to do something, you set your mind to it. There's a need for Christian school teachers. There's a need for ladies who would be willing to say, God, if it means going out west with a young man who's going to plant a church, I am willing to go and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see your work take place. Listen, there's opportunities to minister in music in so many churches. If I had a dime for every person through the years who said, I need a music man or I need somebody to teach music in the Christian school, we could go out and eat well and I could still leave a nice tip. Listen, there are so many tasks to be done, but it's something that we don't like to talk about. It's something that we don't want to force anybody in the ministry. Listen, first of all, I am not for mama called and daddy sent people. That's the last thing that we need. But I'm going to tell you the second thing. I don't think the problem is we've got too many going into the ministry today. If that's the case, our Bible colleges would be full and full of trouble. I'm telling you, I think that the need of the hour is we need to see that God is calling specific people for specific tasks. Don't let that task scare you. But the second thing that I want you to see is not only God's call is specific. The second thing I want you to see is that God is holy. In verse number 5, God tells Moses, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Remember, Moses sees this burning bush and God tells him to stop. He says, "Moses, take off your shoes." Do you remember when you were a kid? How many of you, when you were a kid, your parents didn't want you to wear shoes in the house? Anybody like that? Oh, wow. I'll tell you what. I won't ask how many of you take your shoes off before you go in the dorm, because you probably don't do that. But, you know, there was a reason for that. There's a reason, because mom had cleaned that and she didn't want you to undo what she did. She wanted to keep it spotless. She wanted to keep it as nice as she could. Well, when God told Moses this, it wasn't necessarily that it was to keep the ground spotless. It was, after all, it was dirt. However, it was the idea, Moses, you're on holy ground. Now, here's my proposition to you. Don't miss this. I don't think Moses would have heard everything else that God had said had he not taken his shoes off and had enough sense to recognize the holiness of God. Now, lest that goes over your head, let me just say it in a plain way. When you live a worldly, carnal, selfish life, you're not going to get directions for the next step. I really believe with all of my heart that God is calling more and more and more, with almost 8 billion people on the face of God's earth. I believe that God's calling more. But why can we not hear? Because our ears are so filled with the world. There's some of you, maybe you've wavered in your call, and I'll guarantee you one of the reasons maybe you've wavered in your call is because the world and the devil has gotten into your head and you've been influenced. But you know, I find this, I find that when I respect the holiness of God and I seek to be holy as He is holy, boy, I'll tell you, my ears hear spiritual things a lot better. And I wonder if I'm talking to somebody here, God has something special for you, but you've got something that's gripped your heart so much that you can't even hear what He's saying. I'll tell you, the reason that Moses heard the call of God was because he recognized the holiness of God and he stopped in his tracks and he listened. And maybe that's what some need to do today. Not only is God's call specific, not only is God holy, but number 3, I want you to see this. People are hurting. You say, what in the world does this have to do with God's call on Moses? Verse 7. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." You know what? God looked down at Israel and they were hurting. You ever notice the progression in verse 7? He said, I've surely seen the affliction. He saw every whip that came upon the backs of the Israelites. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. God said, not only do I see, but I hear when those Israelite mothers weep. And then he says, for I know their sorrows. He said, even when they can't verbalize it, I know how they feel in their hearts. In that one verse, God shows that there's a great need. Now, I want to make something very clear before I dig into this a little bit. I'm not here to tell you that if you see a need, that you're immediately called to fit that need. You say, what do you mean? I went to Japan like 2 years ago where there's real ramen noodles. And when I went to Japan, it was like 16 days. It was wide open. And while I was there, it was impressed upon me that more than 90% of that country had no Christian affiliation. 90%, more than 90% with a non-Christian affiliation as far as religion is concerned. And you know what? When I came back, I said to myself, God, we need more people like Ron White to go to Japan. I met Sarah Ward's parents over there. I was like, Lord, there is such a need. Now, did I come home and say, well, God's called me to Japan, so I'll see y'all later. Have fun. I'll let Brother Lucan run it till they find the next president. No, no. Just because you see a need, listen, if it's just seeing a need, you're like, okay, I see that need, I'm going. Well, then every missions conference, our pews would be empty. So I'm not here necessarily saying, well, you see a need and that means, well, boy, that's where you need to go. That's not the case. But I will tell you this. God uses, when you open your eyes and you see the needs to something, I really believe with all of my heart, your listening and your sight when it comes to spiritual things are sharpened and you're a lot more sensitive. I think every person in this room ought to go on a missions trip. Every last one. You say, really? I do. And I'll tell you why. By the time I came to Ambassador, I'd been on 3 missions trips. And you know what I saw? I saw alcoholism in North Dakota on an Indian reservation and people that were worshiping spirits. When I went to Jamaica twice, I saw a country that was filled with all kinds of denominationalism, spiritism, and even demonism. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go to a foreign field to see a need. I'll tell you how you see a need. You get your eyes off of your device and go down the road and just drive somewhere and open and look and see what's going on around you. You see somebody that doesn't look like you and you poke fun of them. How about stopping that and just for a moment say, you know what? I wonder what's really going on in their heart and life. And one of the reasons I believe that we're not seeing people surrender, we're not seeing people go, is because we can see everything else but the need. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. The question isn't, does God see people hurting? He does. There's no doubt about it. He saw Israel hurting. He sees people hurting today. I'll tell you what the question is, do we see people hurting? But number 4, I want you to see this. I don't have the time to park here very long, but when it comes to hearing the call, you've got to realize God is all you need. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Little old me. Who am I? I mean, that's a big job. I can't do it. Verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. Now, there's a lot of other preachers that you could hear do a greater justice to verse 14 than I, but I'm just going to tell you very basically this. When Moses said, who am I going to tell them that who sent me? What am I going to say? He said, you tell them I am that I am. Listen to me. God has always been. He's not a created being. He has always existed. He is all powerful. That is the God that is going to send you, Moses. You know, it's one thing when you're walking up to your siblings and you say, hey, you need to stop that. It's another thing when your dad tells you, you go to your siblings and you tell them to stop that. And a little more confidence enters in. You stop that. Well, I don't want to do it. Well, dad said you stop. Oh, okay. I'm going to tell you why some people miss the call of God. They focus on the one who's being called rather than the one who's doing the calling. And as long as we have teenagers and as long as we have college students who focus on the one being called rather than the one who is doing the calling, we will never go forward. We will never do the work. There's probably a Nutella peanut butter eating student watching today. You might say, boy, I'm not much to look at. Listen to me. It's not about you. It's all about him. There's some of you college students in the course of your college career. You've already been brought to the end of yourself several times. And I say, good for you. You say, why do you say that? Do you hate us? No. First of all, I had to experience it. So you ought to, too. Number two, it's by that process that you're learning more and more. It's not about what you can do, but what God can do through you. Why aren't people hearing the call? Because they're focused on themselves rather than the I am that I am. But let's hurry on. I want you to see also when it comes to hearing the call of God, you need to rest assured God will equip you to do the work. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Now, if you've not picked it up, Moses is doing what some of you college students are really good at. It's called excuse making. When I worked in the dean of students' office, I learned a lot about excuse making. Well, I couldn't get that. There was a dinosaur parked in my driveway and I couldn't cross. I mean, you say, did somebody really do that? They might as well have. That's how crazy some of their answers sounded. Moses is making excuse after excuse. And finally, to this point, God says, all right, Moses, listen, I will equip you. What's in your hand, a rod? Throw that rod down. And when he did, it turned into a snake. And Moses did the same exact thing I would have done. Fled. You're like, that's a black snake. I don't care. Well, it eats rats. That's good, but I don't care. It's a snake. And then later on, he would tell Moses, go down and pick it up. And if you notice in the text, the Bible says he picked it up by the tail. That's how I would have picked it up too. Wouldn't that have been something? God said, no, other end, Moses. That I want you to pick him up by the head. That would have really been faith, right? You know what? There's some of you in this room. Listen, right now, you don't have what it needs to go to the next step right now. You don't. You're like, God wants me to be a Christian school teacher, but I can't even get along with my dorm mates. And I just feel like I'm going to melt down. Some of you are like, you know, I just don't really have a lot of confidence in speaking to people. I am really stinking it up in homiletics class. And I'm just not a majorly eloquent person right now. Some of you are being torn out of your comfort zones. And the truth is right now, that's the reason you're not a pastor right now. That's the reason you're not a missionary right now. That's the reason you're not in a Christian school teaching right now, because otherwise all those kids would be dead. But can I tell you something? If God tells you to go in a certain direction, I'll make you a promise. And here it is. God will equip you. But there's a lot of people today that are fearful. They won't hear the call. They fail to understand that God will equip them. They fail to understand that. But the last thing that I want you to see when it comes to hearing the call of God, listen to me, excuses make God angry. Now, I know we Christians, we don't like to talk much about God's anger and wrath. And I understand we've been delivered from hell and we've been delivered from the wrath of God in that aspect. But listen, there's a very healthy thing that every Christian needs to see. When you just do your excuse making with God, He's not just going to look at it and take it lightly. Listen to Moses, his excuse in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Now, I know it was written in Hebrew, but I read it in English and I'm like, well, it sounds pretty eloquent to me. When's the last time I've used the word heretofore? You know? I really personally believe this is just a sham. This is a crutch. This is something that really is not legitimate. But even if it were, I mean, he says, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Listen, there may be somebody in this room. God's calling you. There's somebody that's listening. You say, I am slow of speech. I am slow of tongue. You may be, but that's when you have to look beyond your obstacles, and you have to see who's calling you. Be comforted then. You're not the first slow of speech person God's ever called. In verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? You better watch it when God starts asking questions. It gets serious. Who maketh the dumb or deaf, or who the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. But instead of saying, yes, sir, Moses said in verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Some people have said that's Moses' way of saying, send my brother, send somebody else. And I'm telling you, verse 14, notice how it starts. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You want to make God angry? I'll tell you how you make him angry. When he's telling you the same thing over and over and over again, and you lay out excuse after excuse after excuse. Maybe there's some graduating seniors. You're on the brink of going out, and your whole semester has been filled with, I can't, I can't, I can't. And God wants to take a big marker and mark through the word I and say, quit talking about yourself and listen to what I want you to do. I may be talking to somebody that's listening today, maybe one of the prospective students you're listening, and you say, there's no way that God could ever use somebody like me. And you throw up excuse after excuse after excuse. And what you need to do is just be quiet. Listen to what God's doing in your heart and just step out and do it. I was doing some reading this morning, some business articles talking about why people miss phone calls. It's really interesting to read through it. Some people miss phone calls from different people sometimes just because they're too busy. They just don't take the time to answer. They say, oh, I've got some other things to do. I just can't. Listen to me. The best thing you can do is not be too busy for God. Some people miss calls because the call is at an inconvenient time. You know, I had a fellow call me the other night at 9:30 on a day when I wasn't feeling very well. But I saw that phone call. I was like, I better take that. But there's some of us in this room. We were like this. It's like, just inconvenient time. And you know, when our lives are so filled with the world, I'll tell you what. When God calls us, it'll always be an inconvenient time. And there's some people that miss calls just because they don't want to talk. Period. Yes, I believe that there are some people that miss God's call. Why? Because it's just they've not wanted to talk to Him for a while, and much less Him talk to them through His Word. But I just want to tell you in closing, when you miss a call from God, you're missing the best in life. Well, another business article that I read, it said that whenever businesses miss 5 calls in a particular industry, it costs them up to $900 in profits that they could have made on service fees. What could you do with $900? You're like, oh, I could do a lot with $900. That's a lot of ramen noodles, you know. That's like a lifetime supply. You say $900, I mean, that helped me out on my school bill. Unfortunately, it wouldn't pay for all of it, but at least get you well on your way in a month. You say $900, that'd be a good down payment on a car. Businesses, they can lose $900 by missing 5 phone calls. But I'm going to tell you, anybody watching today, you can miss a lot more when you miss a call from God. You miss fulfillment in life. You miss satisfaction. You miss the delight in your heart knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. Listen, for those of you in this room, you've heard God's call. Never lose sight of it. May it always be holy ground to you. Those of you that are fighting, those of you that are resisting, you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes on the great I Am. And my prayer is that God would raise up a mighty army of people with the sensitivity of Moses. And that they would go do great things like he did many years ago. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.